Ever feel like your bedroom's shrinking? Don't worry, you don't have to sell your favorite things to make space. With IKEA Bedroom Storage Solutions, think dressers, wardrobes, full closet systems, even storage boxes. You can keep it all. Your vintage band tees? Safe. Those limited edition sneakers? Plenty of room. And yes, your childhood teddy bear gets a spot too. Don't sell what you love, store it instead with IKEA Bedroom Storage Solutions. Shop now at ikea.us/bedroom-storage.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a new Houston restaurant you may want to try. To do that, I'm joined by my co-host this week. She's an expert on food, wine, and good times. Felice Sloan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing well, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, the Upper Kirby location of Fleming's Prime Steakhouse has announced that it will close on April 18th. Felice, this is a little bit unusual. We don't usually talk about chain restaurants, but this one has been around for more than 20 years, almost 25 years. Mm-hmm. It opened in 2002. And, you know, I don't want to make too much of this because the dining scene has changed a lot since 2002. But when it opened, that Fleming's was kind of a spot. Like it was kind of a hot spot.
Hot spot. No, it's very relevant, right? Like, so because we don't talk about chains, like what made that Fleming's, it was like that Fleming's was a local restaurant, right? For all practical purposes, you know, some of our favorite people ran it. They were partners in it. So I think that helped with it being a scene. The location at that time, there was places around in the area, but for me, you got Fleming's and then Carrabba's. Those are the places that I would want to go to in that area, right? So it just, at that time, it was the place you wanted to be. Even though there was other steakhouses, maybe they were kind of stale in the sense of their menu. They felt like the oil men went there. It just wasn't a scene, right? Like it was everything that I wanted in a steakhouse plus.
Yeah. A little younger, a little funner.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned that it felt like a local restaurant. And I think that part of that, we have to go kind of back in the day to these original operating partners, right? There was Maeve Pesquera, who worked for Tony Vallone for a long time before she went to Fleming's. And she had a very devoted group of regulars, a big following of people who basically ate at Fleming's because she worked there.
Yeah.
And kind of made it a spot. And then Sam Governale took over for her.
Right.
And Sam is like one of the truly dynamic, engaging front of house personalities
the
in
man.
Houston, and he would yes. go on to open Emmeline, which had a run for a few years in the teens, and then he went to work for Ben Berg for a little while. And honestly, I've lost track of what Sam is up to. I think he may be out in Round Top or something. But you know, Sam, just a really gregarious and engaging person.
Yeah,
who kind of elevated what was going on at Fleming's and kind of made it a fun destination. So I'm not going to say like it has been many years since I've been to that Fleming's, and I can't say that I'm going to be sad to see it go, but I do like to acknowledge kind of these restaurants because they, you know, when they had a moment, and that moment may have been 15, 20 years ago, even at this point, but there was a period of time when that place was a scene.
Yeah, they're definitely, you always will ask like, will you be sad, right? Like you said, I'm not necessarily thinking about it like that. I'm always, you know, I feel bad for people that work there and all those things. But it is the nostalgia part of it, of I can think about so many wonderful dinners I had there with friends. They used to have, Sam was very big on having different events like tastings and bringing people in. So it is definitely a part of Houston restaurant, the tapestry of Houston history when we think about the restaurants.
Definitely. Right. Prime rib Sundays, Tomahawk Tuesdays, meals with friends, dinners with my family, all went down there over the years. And again, it's been a long time, but I did want to note that it is going away. I have a feeling.
They had a good run.
It had a good run.
Yeah.
You know, there's two more Flemings. There's one up in, there's one in Town and Country. And then there's another one
in the Woodlands.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the brand will live on, and people who love that restaurant can still drive to it. But yes, I thought we needed to acknowledge that the imminent closure of Fleming's at Alabama and Kirby. All right, let's move on to topic number two. Houston-based Olympian Simone Biles has opened a restaurant at George Bush Intercontinental Airport, Terminal A. It is called Taste of Gold. This is like one of these, you know, athlete partners with a company to put their name and branding on a restaurant 100%. At the airport. You know, Simone Biles is the GOAT, right, as far as gymnastics in the Olympics goes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of feel like she could do whatever she wants. But you know, you're a traveler. When the TSA lines aren't out the building, does Simone Biles being affiliated with the restaurant at the airport make you any more likely to try it?
Listen, if you asked me that question and it was in Terminal C or E, sure. Sure. Yeah, I'm going if I have time.
I'll get there a little early so I can go to the Simone Biles restaurant.
Right. I'll say that because if I've had time, I'm like, oh gosh, let me go over to the Papado's, right? Because, yeah, I'll travel over there. I'm not traveling to Terminal A. Absolutely not. I'm like, what do they have in Terminal A? Like, even Terminal B has better food. I'm like, what does Terminal A have to eat? No, I'm not. And good for her. Good that they were able to partner with her to get her there. There will be some people that will travel there and go over to Terminal A. I think it'll be more people that are coming in town connecting because I'm not getting that little train to go. I'm not doing it, Eric. No, I'm not. The answer is no. I should just start it with no. No. Mm-mm.
You know, I'm looking at what else is in Terminal A. There's an El Tiempo. There's Hubcap Grill, which doesn't really exist in Houston anymore. You got to go down to Kima for Hubcap Grill these days. Did I say El Tiempo?
You did.
Okay.
And so, you know, I love El Tiempo. So that's how little
I should say there is the Culture Map branded newsstand. So.
Okay, great. Well, you know what? That doesn't change things for me, but it does. It doesn't change things for me, but what it does, it clears things up for people that are listening. So Terminal A kind of has it going on.
Yeah, it's gotten a glow up. You may not know because you don't fly through Terminal A very often, but Terminal A has come up. But Hubcap Grill, El Tiempo, and Taste of Gold is a pretty solid.
That's solid.
All the usual like Chick-fil-A and Subway and all the
That's
usual.
That's what I'm saying.
Stuff.
I change it. And here's a hat though. So let's just say now let's go to these current TSA conditions. If I were traveling and I just happened to get to the airport hella early, because that's what I'm going to do on a regular day, and I make it through the line and I have time to kill, I'm going over to Terminal A because no one's in Terminal A. And I'm going to be able to eat at a very good restaurant, and I'm going to Simone's restaurant. Absolutely.
Right. Try the skewers, have the burger, maybe a salad, whatever. And all the cool, like, Simone Biles artwork and other branding. I feel like, especially for families, right? If you have a child who is in gymnastics, you have to do this.
You have to.
They're going to want the picture at the Simone Biles restaurant. This is a no-brainer.
We just worked through it. Like, we worked through it with people like me and you. When you threw it out, I'm like, these things are happening in A? So there's reason to go, right? Like, go, do it. Give our girl some support.
All right. And then topic number three. And again, I don't think we're going to talk about this for too long, but Brassica Sandwiches and Salads, which I am describing as an Ohio-based fast casual Mediterranean restaurant, is now open. I want to say it's on Voss, like, or just off of Voss, kind of where San Felipe, like kind of near the Whole Foods, call that Memorial, call that Briar Grove. They're calling it Hunter's Creek, which is the Memorial Village, you know, but I'm pretty sure it's a Houston. I'm pretty sure it's still in the city limits of Houston, but I thought this was interesting because it, stop me if this sounds familiar to you, this concept. you have choices of, you can get a pita sandwich, you can get a salad, or you can get a hummus bowl, and it's topped with proteins like falafel, braised chicken shawarma, or brisket, and then they have a whole bunch of other vegetables that you can add. It's kind of like a Chipotle-style Mediterranean restaurant, and I was just wondering, does that sound like a familiar concept to you in any way?
It sounds like if you took a Kraft pita and mix it with kava.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it's probably, it sounds like it's a little better than kava.
Yeah.
We, of course, are a pro Kraft pita podcast.
100%.
Rafi Nasser is on the show all the time. And it's close enough, right? It's not that far from the original Kraft pita on Fountain View to this Brassica on Voss. They're kind of like, you know, I'm not going to say they're like, you know, poaching, but, you know, they looked at the same demographics that Rafi did when he opened in 2019 and were like, oh, yes, this is an affluent area with a lot of people who care about healthy eating and want to get through lines quickly. Like, we will do well here. So I'm not surprised that they chose that location, but yeah, maybe a little disrespectful, Ohio, to come in when there's a very prominent, similar concept a couple miles away.
So what I will say, because I always say you have to have an opinion. And so when I'm knocking people down and saying, absolutely not, you need to go to Kraft Pita, because, you know, Kraft Pita didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to go and I'm going to try all the things so I can have an opinion and tell them, and I hope they do well, because, you know, there's enough competition, there's room for everybody.
We don't root for anyone's failure.
We don't root for anyone's failure. But I'm going to say, if someone's going there, if they ask me, should I go there or Kraft Pita? I'm like, well, I don't even have to try it. You need to go to Kraft Pita. But so I don't have to seem like I'm just one-sided. I need to try it. And then I can say, no, if you're getting a sandwich. Now, say they have a sandwich that Kraft doesn't have. I'm like, oh, well, I've never tried that. Kraft Pita doesn't sell that. Like, that's, you know, they do local sourcing. That's probably beneath them. But you go, right? Like, I would say some shady stuff like that. But again, I kid. I'm going to try it out and see what they got.
There is one thing about Brassica that intrigues me.
Okay, tell me.
Which is that they bake the pita on site and fresh throughout the day. Now, Kraft Pita has always gotten its pita from Phoenicia.
Yeah.
And that is smart. Phoenicia makes great pita. And certainly at the Fountain View location, they did not have the kitchen capacity to bake pita bread. And why would you when the Phoenicia pita is so good?
But
I am intrigued by the idea of, like, ooh, like warm pita, hot, like freshly baked pita. Does the restaurant smell like the pita? Can you smell the pita baking?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Because that would appeal to me.
Yeah. Well, we have to try it out. We'll have to try it out and see. And it also, to me, you know, I love Mediterranean food. I wish they were closer to me, because now I have, you know what I'm saying? Like, I seek out places that have Mediterranean food so I can have spots to go to on every side of town that I'm on. Yeah.
Right. And we should say, this is the weekend, this Friday and Saturday, of the annual Kraft Pita Truth Barbecue smoked lamb dishes. And so I will certainly be at Kraft Pita either Friday or Saturday, or Friday and Saturday, because that smoked lamb is incredible.
I was going to say Friday and Saturday, Eric. You know, it's a tradition. Some years I see you there getting your stuff, but here's the tradition, and I don't know why I play. I usually will go on Friday, right? I'll get lunch and dinner. I'll get the bowl and the sandwich. And I'm like, okay. Then somewhere throughout the day, I'm like, why not just get something for Saturday? I will call and say, can I put in the order? Or I'll go online and put the order in and I'll pick up on Saturday too. Because that is literally my favorite collab. The only time you can get it. It's so good. It's so, so good. So place your orders. They're going to sell out. So place your orders to get it. It's such a good collab with Truth. It's so good.
All right. This segment not brought to you by Craft Pita. It just sounds like it. Felice, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. For our restaurants of the week, I want to talk to you about The Green Room. This is the new restaurant in the Heights from the guys behind Heights & Co. and Lazy Lane. I had Chef Daniel, Chef Tom, and the owner, Brian Doak, on last week to kind of talk about the ideas behind The Green Room and the ambitions for The Green Room. But we have not really talked about what it's like to eat at The Green Room. So I turn it over to you. This is an unusual space in that they kind of created a 25-seat dining room out of the existing Heights & Co. interior and just decided that it was like declared that it was going to be its own restaurant. So start there. What were your first impressions of this space that is now The Green Room?
You know, once I found it, I'm like, they will make, you know, those guys will make, I told them, I'm like, y'all will take nothing and make it something, right? Right? I'm like, once I found it and I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is so cute. It looked, and cute is probably too juvenile of a word. But that was the first thought. I said, oh, it's so cute in here. Then once I go inside, it's so sophisticated. I felt like I was, and I told them, I'm like, they with the music, the way the decor, I felt like I was somewhere on the coast of France. Like, it just felt, it felt good. Like, it's surrounded with glass, right? So, and the 26 seats was very intentional. The way they've decorated the space and done it, it seemed very intentional. Even just looking at the people, and we were talking to people that were there. People just seemed like they were having a good time, but it was such a vibe. It was just like a chill, sexy kind of vibe.
No, I think that's right. You know, it's got that kind of striped tile on the floor and those kind of marble looking table tops. And it does, it feels like, you know, Heights & Co. is so casual. It's a patio bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they host movie nights and you can watch the Astros there and all that kind of stuff. This feels totally separate. Like, even though it's the same entrance, it feels very distinct with the plants, you know, the palms and everything, the greenery, and the paint and everything. It just feels very, distinct.
Yeah.
So I think they've done a good job on that score. What about the food? What were some of your favorite dishes from our meal?
So I'll have to say we were slammed in the best way possible.
A true classic Chris Shepherd style food fucking. Like, they buried us.
They buried us. And the thing that I'll say, though, I like being buried like that in the sense of, because I have a complete understanding of the menu and I can speak to it in a very good way. So I love the menu, makes sense. All of it together, it just works, right? Like, it makes sense. It's very approachable. I felt like there was really no misses. There's things that could be better, but it was very, the way we progressed through the menu, I thought it was very good. There's some standouts for me. I'll talk about the misses when we go back to talk about the misses. Some of the standouts for me were, I'm going to look here at my notes so I can get it right. We had the Hand of Wood fritters. And I know you loved it too, but.
Yeah, I love a fried mushroom basically in any form, but these were really so crispy.
Yeah.
like just, you know, big umami flavor from the mushrooms, good crunch from the tempura batter. Like that, this is the fried mushroom. Like this is what you want from a fried mushroom.
Yes.
And those hen of the woods are meaty, right? Like that's why, you know, that's why Joseph Boudreau uses them at Boozburgers for his mushroom burger. It's the same idea, right? They've got a really good texture.
100%, 100%. And then we also had the salmon, like the
salmon and crude. Yeah, that's it's funny. It's like that is becoming like, you know, Marigold Club has a duck and crude. Sean Gall at Camaraderie has done like a fish and crude occasionally on the menu. And now, so, you know, three's a trend. Like I don't know why all of a sudden we're wrapping proteins in pastry and baking it, but I'm totally here for it.
And when you do that sometimes, cause I don't like wet dough, right? Like this, I don't eat, we talk about chicken and dumplings because that texture. So it's easy to make that too doughy. It was cooked perfectly. I have to say the cook on most of the stuff that we had was perfect. And I moved down too quick. We had the Parker rolls, because I know you're saying bread is having a moment. Rolls are having a moment.
Rolls are having a moment in Houston. Right,
those now. Parker rolls are star. If they're having a moment, the Parker rolls at the Green Room with the, they're on trend then.
Yeah, very much like, and I don't even know if it like happens intentionally, right? Where they look around and it's like, oh, Star River has rolls and, you know, all these other places have, it's like, we need rolls too. I don't know that it happens that deliberately. I just think that, you know, you're kind of going for a certain style of food and that includes Parker House rolls and I'm completely fine with that.
Right. And if you're a bread person, right, and you're going to get an app, just go ahead and get the Parker House rolls with whatever app because you're going to be blown away. You're going to eat all the bread. So I'm just saying add that. Another thing that I love confit duck. Like that's one of my favorites. And they did a confit chicken, roasted confit chicken. Nailed it. And I don't normally, we talk about that. I wouldn't normally get chicken because people, they don't nail it. Like I'm like, they nail it. But going to the duck, the dish of the night for me was the dry aged duck. It was
absolutely
everything.
Yeah. And again, like you're seeing duck on more and more menus. Like, you know, Barbacana's got a great one. Just off the top of my head, you know, there's a show-stopping whole duck at Credence, but this is a version that will hold its own with anybody's. And that kind of sweet reduction that came with it, I thought was really tasty. And of course it was, you know, it was cooked properly. The fat was rendered, the skin was crispy. It didn't taste gamey at all, but it still had like real duck flavor. I just thought that was a real standout. And then you mentioned the chicken and then there's that spicy pasta.
Oh, I forgot that. Oh, yes.
You know, that I think it's like a rigatoni. It's a little bit like carbonara, but it's got tomato in it. It's an unusual preparation. I'm not, you know, it's somewhere between carbonara and alla matriciana is this pasta dish. And we were at the end. I mean, they had fed us, they had offered us so much food and it came out at the end and we still were just like, this is so good. You know, like even if we're not going to finish this, but one of us is taking this home. It's too good not to eat. So we've been very effusive. Was there anything that missed for you?
What missed for me were the scallops. And I'm going to tell you why. Not because they weren't good. They were just okay. And because everything else, like the cook was spot on, it was so just next level good. The scallops were just like, and we had scallops two different.
Yeah, we had a scallop crudo and then we had seared scallops over that seared risotto, that risotto alla plancha, which was a very unusual preparation. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I've never seen
like crispy risotto that was like seared. Usually it's soft and luscious and it spreads. And I didn't mind that necessarily. Like I like the ambition of it and the innovation of it. But at the same time, like I think I might have just rather had regular risotto.
Here's why I think if that risotto, like if it was a good snapper or something else, I think the dish would have landed better. But because the scallops were just okay, I was like, oh, okay. Because I really love that risotto. But to speak about the dish as a whole, because it had the scallops, it missed for me. But again, I think it's a personal preference. Now, if like I have friends that love scallops, where they're like, they don't care. As long as they're good, they're like, I want the scallop. That would be a dish I'd tell them to get. And I'm like, I think they would love it because of how different the risotto is. Because the taste was there. The taste was great. Would you agree? Like, even though it was a different preparation, how good the risotto was?
Yes, I enjoyed the flavor of the risotto. It was surprising in the sense that, like, that is not what I expect when you show me risotto on a menu. It just wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Yes. Very tasty. And the scallops were really nicely cooked, but I liked some of the other dishes we tried more, you know. Mm-hmm. I like the chicken more. I like the duck more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other fish on that menu too. And I think, you know, if I had to do it, like when I go back, it'll be to try something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think going back, I'm going to not, I like again, I tried everything that I wanted to try. Like, what would I try? Like, maybe I will try some different apps. Like, I'll probably maybe get the Murder Point oysters with the caviar and, like, you know, but I don't think you can get that separate from some of the other things. Maybe hamachi. I'm definitely going to get either the salmon or the roasted duck. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Then we did wine pairings, right? The wine pairings.
Right, Brian Doak is a wine guy, you know, sommelier type. So yes, he had pairings for us, and he's always all of his places, you know, going back to Savour certainly have always had interesting wine lists, and so there's always fun stuff to try on his wine lists.
So if you were having a nice, and I was looking at couples there, young and like there was a very young couple. I'm like, man, how does she date? They look like they were kids, right? And I remember telling Eric, I'm like, where do you go from dating him? He's bringing you to the green room for like a date. Like, how do you date anyone other than this guy? Thank God. Set the bar really high. It's a great date night spot and our anniversary spot. I told them I'm looking forward to when they add brunch because I'm going to dress up and be cute and go there for brunch because it's just that kind of place. You just feel like that. You don't have to dress up, but I felt like I wanted to meet my girlfriends there and we dress up and have great wine pairing with whatever we're eating. It's that kind of place.
Right. All right. So let me ask you the question that I tried to get them to take the bait. They wouldn't take the bait. Fair enough. I won't be so ambitious as to say, is this one of the very best restaurants in the house in the Heights? It's been open for 3 weeks. It's too soon.
Yeah.
Do you think that this restaurant could become one of the very best restaurants in the Heights at the level of places like Squabble and Basso?
Definitely. I think they can have a wait where like people are trying to get in. Definitely because the food quality is there. If they continue to execute at a high level, the food is, you know, they continue to lean. If they're doing this at 3 weeks out, and again, people will be like, oh, what's Eric? You were there. No, again, I'm watching. We're talking to people that were there. They felt the same way. So I feel confident in saying that. It wasn't just our experience that because it's who you are, who I am. No. So I definitely think they could. And even like when you say like a Basso or because there's still people we just went and we were going to talk about possibly. I went for my birthday dinner to Basso.
First time to Basso.
Right. For my birthday dinner. And I was putting it off because there was mixed. You love it, right? So I'm like, well, Eric has blinders. He loves the place. And then I talk to people that love it. Then some people are like, oh, I think it's just okay. So I'm like, what is there? What is the in between? Why are people so on the fence about how they feel about it? And right after we went, a very good friend, a food person, I won't mention them, they had that guy. I'm so embarrassed to say, I never went. I'm like, oh, you should go. Make sure you take at least one other person. So you can imagine the menu, how they want it to be imagined. And so they were like, well, what do you mean? I said, now, one of the people that went for our birthday dinner had went and they got this and that. We went and we were able to get a couple of things and they all work together in different ways. I'm like, so now it made me understand why it may be a miss for some people. Because if they order the wrong thing, and there's really no wrong thing, but say they order something, they're like, oh, this is just okay. And that's the only thing that they order. They're like, I don't get it.
Right. Right. Just to sort of circle and just to sort of complete your, or my two cents on what you're saying. You know, at Basso, I think the meal is kind of, it's telling a story.
Yes.
And if you don't order enough of the dishes, then you may order, if you order three things and you know, you don't like one of them, you may not understand what other people like about it, but they play so well together that you really need like five or six things to kind of understand the scope of what they're doing. And then if you don't like one, it doesn't bother you as much because you understand kind of what they're trying to achieve. Just to circle back to the green room, I don't think you have to do that at the green room.
That's my point.
You can have a very traditional, you know, app and entree and dessert and have a very classic European style meal and have a great and have a really good experience.
They play on their own, right?
For a traditional diner, yeah. I think the green room is a great choice because it's grounded in that French technique. They're obviously very particular about the ingredients they're using. And, you know, like Tom said last week, he's been tagged as a Filipino chef. And of course he won a James Beard Award making, you know, he's a Filipino American and he won a James Beard Award making Filipino food at Bad Saint, but he's also classically trained who came up in some of the best restaurants in New York and DC. So you can call him a New York chef as easily as you can call him a Filipino chef. And now that he's here and he's doing this stuff, he's like, I want the credit for that part of my story too. And that's completely fair. But, you know, but it is a more traditional experience even than Squabble, which is also kind of grounded in that, you know, there's a lot of French influence at Squabble, but I'd say Green Room is even a little bit more traditional than that in its presentation.
Yeah. So there's room for...
There's room for all three, for sure.
Right. There's, and with all three, people are like, what's your favorite? What's the best restaurant in the Heights, right? They can be a part of the conversation because now I'm going to be, well, that's very loaded. I mean, there's a couple depending on how you want to dine, right? So you...
Right, and I haven't even thrown out Hipsy or Cultivare or Field and Tides or La Lucha, which are all in that mix for me.
And 100%.
And then if you're a Heights person, you know, you're screaming at the speaker, like, what about Maison Bucha? That's not so much for me, but I get what people like about that place.
Yeah. So when people are like, how many more restaurants can they put in the Heights? I'm like, well, I get your point for as real estate wise. But it makes sense because if you want to go, you do that, you think about in New York, right? Like how many more places can be in Soho or here and there? I go, it's the same thing. it's the same thing. You can go to an area in Houston and throw a rock and hit a good restaurant. That's a great problem to have for restaurateurs. So, and I think that if they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to do it. It's on my list. I've literally been talking about it since I went. So,
yeah, I always ask this just to be explicit, but you want, like, not only will you go back, you're going to go back soon. It sounds like.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, no, me too. I mean, you know, this is, I you know, because I want to try some other things that we didn't get to try. And
yeah.
Also, like, I want to see if they can do it again. You know, like we were obviously a known quantity. We got VIP treatment. We were hosted. We were all the things. But, you know, I really do want to kind of see if they can do it again.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned your birthday dinner at Basso. You had another birthday dinner at Sushi Horiuchi. And so, you know, Michael and I talked about Sushi Horiuchi a few weeks ago, but you're one of the other people I know that's now been there. What did you think?
Michael asked me, oh my God, what did you think? I'm like, I don't have words beyond it is, and I'm not 10 years old. I'm not 20 years old. We're going to leave it right there. One of the top five meals that I've ever had. And it's not number five. It was such a great experience. And I look at the whole thing, right? The food, the experience, the all of it. I got in the car and I cried. I'm like, that was next level good. Like for me to experience that, to start the month like that for my birthday to kick off, I'm like, it's going to be hard to beat, but it's been a great month of eating. Just the thoughtfulness in every single piece of the dining experience, right? Like, and I know you've talked about this, like and I love that from, there is a local person that made all the dishes that they use from Japan, and she made it for that restaurant. The artwork, as they're walking you through the tasting, the artwork is very, it could stand on its own as a piece of art, but, you know, they're able to point to it. It's Japan. This is where your fish came from, to the matcha at the end, doing the matcha table side and doing it, the art of making matcha, right? Hell, one of the desserts was the Japanese garden and everything was edible and the spoon was in the shape of a shovel. Like, but it wasn't a literal shovel. Like when you're looking, like that looks familiar, but it was very artistic. So we were literally digging, right? You're digging the dirt to eat it. Like all those things are very impressive to me. It is worth, people like, oh, it's a big price tag. Well, you get, I mean, I stopped counting at probably like 18 courses and food was still coming. Like it's like, and it's not, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my God, there's still more. And it's not like super huge portions, but it's so much. And the quality, the level of sushi is next level.
Yeah. I mean, I basically left it going, I probably had my best meal of the year in January or February, whatever day of the week it was. Like it's going to be essentially impossible to top, but to have followed Hori's career for so long and to have, you know, seen the omakase at Kata and Kitami, and then, oh, now it's like this. This is so elevated. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If he doesn't get a Michelin star for this, there's no justice in this world at all.
No, I would 100%. I would just 100% agree with you. I'm like, wait, what? Because who are you giving? What are we talking about? Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
All right. Felice, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Thanks for having me. Bye.
All right. That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Jarrell Riddick from Southern Jerks.